I'm Silva Haripetyan. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms. Hello, everybody. I'm Silva Haripetyan. This is another edition of the Silva Haripetyan Show. We are 44 days into what started out as a unprovoked war in Nagorno-Karabakh. It's been just a few days since the agreement or statement or however it's been described has been signed to stop the war in the region. The prime minister signed it. And within that statement, there are regions of Nagorno-Karabakh that have been essentially given and handed over to be under the control of Azerbaijan. You're hearing a little bit of hesitation in the way I describe all of this is because, quite frankly, I have yet to see the actual agreement in order for me to be able to properly describe what this is exactly. However, what I do want to talk about today is about what Armenians in Nagorno-Karabakh and Artsakh are feeling, what Armenians in Armenia are feeling, what Armenians in the diaspora are feeling. We have no interest in talking about the politics. You guys can get that news from somewhere else. Here, we're going to talk about what we're feeling, how we're dealing with it, what to do to cope with it, and how to move forward. In an attempt to do that, I have a guest who has been on my show before, and her words of wisdom have resonated with a lot of you who are viewers and our listeners. So I have invited her back to talk to us again about this topic. Argiana Karapetyan, she is a psychotherapist, and she specializes in working with refugees and spends a lot of time not only practically working with refugees and their journey in adjusting to a new place. So she doesn't just have the clinical ability and know-how, but she also herself, having been through that experience, is able to put a personal spin and touch on the therapy and advice that she's able to give to everyone. So thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today. I want to go straight into asking you, I know you've been following on social media in the last couple of days, you've been seeing what's been happening where people have been leaving their homes, people have been filling their cars with whatever they can own and getting on the road and leaving Artsakh. Tell me about what you think about what's been happening.
This is a very, very traumatizing time for everyone, all Armenians, whether they're in diaspora, whether they're in Artsakh, whether they're in Armenia. Having to leave your house and go and live somewhere else is an extremely traumatizing thing to do for anybody. In this case, it is more so because this is something that Armenians have felt over and over again. And this is a re-traumatization and, as we call it, transgenerational trauma. So it's extremely painful on a deeper level.
You said it's a re-traumatization and something that we live through over and over again. Can you expand on that a little bit again? What do you mean by re-traumatization?
Okay, there is this concept in psychology and psychotherapy that's called transgenerational trauma, intergenerational trauma, or historical trauma. Okay, so some people choose to use a different word. What that is when the trauma experienced by a group of people is moved from generation to generation. And this comes in the form of slavery, comes in the form of racism, comes in the form of domestic violence, extreme poverty, sexual abuse. And the people who have experienced this trauma end up moving that trauma to their offspring, to their children. And what happens to the children is they may not have necessarily seen genocide, but they expose the same signs and symptoms and the same behavior as if they did. Okay? So that's called transgenerational trauma. This is very much it's studied in survivors of genocide, especially with the Holocaust survivors. And the children, the offsprings, the children and the grandchildren of the survivors of genocide and Holocaust relive and re-experience, although they haven't personally gone through that.
There's a connection and sadness and human empathy and sympathy and a compassion when you watch people fill their cars with all they own and leave their homes knowing that they may never come back. And obviously we're able to feel that to some degree. If you're human, you'll feel that to some degree. If you're Armenian, you feel that to a higher degree because you feel like you're connected to the people, to the land, to the culture, to the community. But I think what's been really surprising for a lot of people in the diaspora has been the impact and the severity of the trauma that we are feeling, as though it is happening to us, as though individually we're going through this experience, even though we're 7,000 miles away. Most of us have never had to do that. I mean, we're watching people burn their houses down that they have built with their own hands. And yes. I know, and the people that I've spoken to, it feels like we individually are going through that experience. And the depth of that trauma and feeling that experience physiologically, I think, is also creating ripple effects within the community. Can you help make sense of that?
It's very important to understand how this is. As you said, we have experienced the Armenian genocide in 1915. And after that, there were lots of people that scattered through diaspora. Yeah. So some people moved to Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, Iran, other countries, which in the last 20 years or 40 years, including our generation, when we escaped Iran, we had to evacuate and be displaced. And that's exactly what our parents did. They packed up everything in a suitcase and we left, not knowing if we were ever going to go back. Okay? This happened with the Syrians in the last years. Okay? So they started to relive what they heard from their parents and grandparents or great grandparents. Okay? This reliving the trauma is so much stronger and deeper than we acknowledge. It's very important to stop and listen to our inner dialogue and to listen to what's happening. Why am I moved so much? Why am I so angry? Why am I so distressed? It's because we have not only read this, studied this in Armenian history, in our books, but most of us in the diaspora have experienced this on a personal level.
There's also another layer of this that I really want to talk about, and I'll speak about my own feelings, right? So I have empathy and I can feel this sense of anxiety as I watch people leave their homes, right? Because that's just essentially what we did and what I did, what my family did, right? I can on some level wrap my brain around people setting their own homes on fire, because I feel like historically that's what we've done in order to survive, right? But there is another level to this. It's the It's the part that we have heard about, but we never really witnessed. It's the part about how our ancestors talked about the 1915 genocide and the erasure of a whole culture, right? Like the cleansing of the culture and the race, and watching the potential implications of this grand church that has stood tall for 800 years to not exist anymore, and have it be erased online, right? Its existence online, it messes with your sense of identity almost. Can you talk to me a little bit about that and what, how to cope with that, what to do with that?
Absolutely, it messes up with your psyche, it messes up with your neurology, it messes up with your existential worldview. This scorched earth concept isn't something that's just happened now. If you look in our history in the 1600s, when Shah Abbas brought nearly 500,000 Armenians from Nakhichevan to Iran, they were implementing scorched earth. That's not something new. And the reason being, they were convinced that they're not going to go back, and they don't want their house and their field and their things to be used by the enemy. They didn't want that to be in the hands of somebody else. And for us to re-experience this in 2020, it's extremely unnerving. It's very unsettling for us to think, okay, we've come a long way and this shouldn't have happened. And we don't want to go into the political arguments and the political analysis. I'm not interested, and I don't want to do that. However, this all makes us try to understand and make sense of it. And the first thing that everyone experiences is this sense of denial and disbelief. And then after that, we start to be angry and then become very depressed and start to make sense of it, try to understand why did this happen and how could we have avoided this. So we get trapped in this cycle of violence, which is something everyone experiences, and it's Kubler-Ross's cycle of grief. However, the issue with the transgenerational trauma that Black Americans feel have experienced, the Australian Aboriginal communities have experienced, and the Armenians have experienced through genocide. The unfortunate thing is we are trapped in this cycle of violence and cycle of grief. And we are unable to get out of it because there is no closure. And until that time that there is acknowledgement from the perpetrators and there is a resolution, we end up re-experiencing this and being trapped in this. And I think it's very important for us to be aware of it and know the elephant in the room, that it's there. And that's why we're feeling the way we are.
So you're saying the denial of what has happened in the past, the denial of its continuation over generations, and the denial of essentially the silence of the world in 2020 as we're watching this unfold, is contributing to the anxiety and the cycle of violence that we are all trapped in. And
Absolutely. And to the transgenerational trauma that we're all experiencing.
awareness is the answer.
I think awareness is the answer. And I'll tell you why it's the answer. Because transgenerational trauma leads individuals to have anxiety, depression, and post-traumatic stress disorder signs and symptoms. However, it manifests itself in different ways. And the way it can manifest itself is that there is a lot of fragmentation in the community. There's a lot of domestic violence in the community, and a lot of disbelief in the authority and the people that are in charge, and it destroys the fiber of the society. If we are aware of it and we try to make sense of it and we try to ask for help, then we're trying to avoid that. So we don't want to be worse than we are. We want to get better and stronger as a society and as a community and as a nation, whether it's inside Artsakh, whether it's inside Armenia, or whether it's in the diaspora.
You know, listening to you put it that way, I feel like the enemy has been perpetrating a psychological warfare.
Absolutely. And it's way, way deeper and more extensive than we think it is. And it's only the awareness that will help us resolve this and try to stick to become firstly on a family level to be united, okay? I'm talking about nuclear family. Mm-hmm. And then on a societal level and the community level to be united, and then on a nationwide to be united and have some kind of democratic resolution and approach to this. And by doing that, we are trying to respect the higher authority, we are respecting our family members, we are respecting our community members, but we can't do that until we are all healing and feeling supported on individual level. Mm. We can't do that until we're feeling depressed. And PTSD is when you feel re-traumatized and you start to relive all these traumatic events physiologically when you hear something like this has happened. And that, in addition to what I said, it makes us unable to deal with the daily problems and the daily events and the daily challenges that every one of us has. It makes us weaker psychologically.
Very interesting, which is essentially really important to remember, because we've seen all of these things unfold, right? We saw denial in the beginning of the announcement of this agreement or statement that was signed. Then we saw fragmentation and what had built as a united front for 44 days just unraveling at the seams, and we're watching all of this division take place. But essentially, if you know the weakness of people, you can essentially use that to your advantage, which I feel like it's happening. We can't continue to deny that these are the things that we're feeling and this is what's happening and expect a different result, right? We have to relearn and refocus and understand that we're trapped in the cycle of violence and figure out how to get out of it. Otherwise, this is just going to continue happening. At least our response is going to continue happening exactly the same way that it's been unfolding. You're listening to the Silva Harapetian Show on KIRN 670 AM and 95.5 HD3 FM. We'll continue after this break.